Hello, folks, and welcome back. You're listening to Penguin Radio, the radio station of Dominican University of California at radio.dominican.edu. This is In My Head with DJ Lady on 102.3 FM. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everyone is well and taking care of themselves, drinking water, washing your hands, and sanitizing, cleaning, making sure that we're all staying safe. So I just wanted to start off with a sense of appreciation and talk about how we need to take this opportunity to go inward and explore ourselves, practicing self-care and self-love. We need to push ourselves and try to connect with ourselves. And take this time to relax, spend quality time with yourself, explore and learn more about yourself. During this time, I have created 10 self-love activities that I do personally during this quarantine. And I wanted to share them with you just in case you need some ideas or you need to be inspired by some of the things that I'm about to mention. So number one on my list is meditate. I try to meditate every morning to get my day started, and it's a really good way to stay grounded as well as alleviate worries and stay connected with yourself. It helps me to feel like I still have control over what is happening, not only within the outside world, but with myself. And the second activity is yoga or in-house workouts. So I have been searching YouTube and looking up fun in-house workouts that I can do with my friends or my family, and there are some yoga classes too that you can do with friends over FaceTime or anything. It's very fun to have a group workout session, and it also helps to disconnect from the outside world. And even though it's hard to keep in a positive mindset, I think that yoga and in-house workouts really do help with that. Number three would be deep clean and declutter. So this is one that I definitely have been struggling with because I always put off cleaning, like definitely deep cleaning when it comes to my room. So I definitely need to do that and declutter. And I try to do everything else on this list and put that one aside, but it really helps me focus on, again, taking back control of my life, because if my room's clean and organized, then it really feels like my life is clean and organized as well. Even though it might not be, it really does feel like it as soon as I get my room cleaned up. Number four would be to paint, journal, or create. This is what I am normally doing: painting, journaling, creating. I've been learning how to sew, which I've always wanted to do. I mean, I know how to hand sew, but I've never learned how to use a sewing machine properly without it looking like a hack job. But I've been definitely trying to learn how to do that. And I think it's important to teach yourself new things. And again, like go on YouTube, search up tutorials, and it's really fun. There's also these like little mini online classes that they offer, and there's apps too that offer little mini online classes, and they do cost money, but they're not that bad. Number five would be to cook or bake. And I've also been trying to do that at least once a week. Maybe learn a new recipe or bake a banana bread or cookies or something and drop them off to my grandma, just for approval, pretty much. And number six would be self-care and maybe nails, hair, just face masks, and really pampering yourself. And number seven would be finish a project you've been putting off. So I can't even tell you how many projects I have in my room that are unfinished that, you know, I always see when I come back home, but never really want to finish because I want to hang out with my friends or do something else rather than finishing that project that I've been putting off. Also, not only could you do that, but you could explore maybe a new project that you would want to start. Like, the one that I have right now is this huge collage that I've been wanting to finish for a while. And number eight would be update your portfolio or resume. And through these times of uncertainty, it is a good idea to update your portfolio or resume because the world is basically on a universal pause right now. So it is always good to update your resume, your portfolio, anything that you would like to do before maybe reapplying to jobs or, you know, a lot of us are graduating this semester. So before you start applying to jobs, because probably a lot of places aren't going to be hiring anytime soon. So it's a good job to get everything prepared and everything ready for when that time comes. And number nine would be watch a good new series, maybe like a Netflix documentary or a movie, or just kind of sit down and relax. And I mean, there's so many good series that have came out. Like, I personally watch Ozark, and the third season came out recently. I think it came out new. I don't know. I just noticed it like recently, so I'm assuming it's new. And Tiger King, which I watched, which is insane and wild, and it was pretty good. It was funny. It was weird, but I liked the series. And yeah, there's a lot of good new movies too. And number 10 would be drink water. And honestly, it was hard to come up with a 10th activity, but I think that drinking water is always good because you need to stay hydrated to prevent from getting sick or tired, or, you know, just drinking water is very good for your health. And so that would be number 10, is have a glass of water here and there. When you have nothing else to do, drink some water. So yeah, that is just a 10 self-love activities that I think should be done during a time of doing nothing and self-quarantining. It's a great time to do every single one of those. So I was talking to my grandma and my mom about how they dealt with the extra time that they had on their hands when they were, my grandma was just a stay-home mom, but I wanted to talk about the difference between my grandmother, who was a stay-at-home mom, and my mom, who didn't stay home and actually had to sometimes even take us to work. I wanted to talk about the difference between those two generations and two different people and how they dealt with the quote-unquote stay-at-home mom depression, and also how they think mothers in the future will deal with being a stay-at-home mom, or if their views will change post-coronavirus. Because as all of us are realizing, it is extremely hard to stay home for long periods of time, and it can get very, very boring. But I feel like if you are preoccupied with a child or, you know, a baby, it's going to be a lot more. You're going to be busier. You're going to be feeding, cooking, cleaning, and taking care of you and someone else, or maybe two other little ones. So I can see how maybe it wouldn't be as boring. But I wanted to interview my grandma about how she handled being a stay-at-home mom for a few years. My grandma is 79, and she has lived her entire life in Santa Cruz, born and raised. Her father, my great-grandpa, was born in Italy in a very, very small town called Riva Trigoso, and it is in Italy. And her mother is from Spain, but she was also born in the United States. My grandfather was raised in a foreign country, so he had a very thick accent. And honestly, he passed away when I was very young, and I didn't really talk to him too much half of the time because he scared me a lot. He looked like someone who could have been in the mafia. So he was terrifying. But my great grandma is still alive. She is 101 and will be 102 in November. So that's really exciting. And she is doing amazing. So I just wanted to give you a brief little history about my grandma before I interview her. And this will be a phone kind of interview. So, yeah. It might be a little staticky or break up a little bit, but let's give her a call. Okay. So, how was it being a stay-at-home mom, and what was it like?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I mean, I loved it. I was able to, be with the kids. Yeah. And then also, help Grandpa with the yard, wash the car, clean the house.
Do you think... Do you wish that you weren't... that you were never a stay-at-home mom?
No. I wanted to be with the kids. No. I would have never had it. If Grandma couldn't take care of them, or Grandma Mabel, no. I wouldn't leave the kids with a daycare or anything like that.
Was being a stay-at-home mom very normal in the 60s?
Right. Everybody stayed home. I think Antoinette worked, but she worked the hours the kids were in school. You know, the parents would try to, work the hours. I don't know what she did in the summertime. Well, anyhow, most moms that we knew were all stay-at-home moms. I mean, the mothers would get together and the kids would play. You know, Auntie Coco, Auntie Teresa, and me, we'd take the kids to the park. We'd do stuff with them. Go to the beach, then bring them home, feed them, put them down for a nap, and then we'd go and do our chores.
So when did you start to go back to work?
Not until after your mom moved out and Robbie moved out. Robbie was the last one to move out. Scotty got married at 22, I think. He got married, so he was out of here. And then your mom moved when she bought her first place. She was around, after she graduated, I think she went out looking for a place to buy. And she bought her first apartment.
Like, when would you say, like, the age that you went back to work?
Okay. Around 47, I think.
So you worked on the weekends, and then as soon as you were 47.
No. We worked on the weekends, Auntie Teresa and I, when the kids were around 10 years old. We worked maybe for 6 months, I think we tried it out, and that was in the kitchen. I'd watch her kids, she'd watch mine every other weekend. And then when I went back to work to help your mother out, let me think, because let's see, wait a minute. Not my 50s, because I took care of Ashley and I took care of you kids. Probably my 60s.
Okay. So after... So
then Grandpa got cancer. I worked, I think, about 4, maybe 3 years. So, I'm not sure. Like I said, you got to ask your mom. I can't remember. I'd say I worked about 3 years, and then Grandpa got cancer. He retired in... He was 60... I think 67.
Okay.
He got out of there.
So...
So he was a couple of years here, and I was still working. And then when he got cancer, which was diagnosed in, let's see, he died I think 2005, 2004 or 2005.
So do you think that, so after you had, after you let the kids go, after, you know, did you feel like you had an empty nest? Were you very lonely after the kids all left?
I didn't like it. I didn't like it that they weren't here anymore.
Did you feel like the quote unquote, the empty nest syndrome?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because it was a change for Dad, Grandpa and I.
And how do you think that influenced the role of you being a mom? How did that make you feel? You what?
I was sad.
Yeah.
You mean after the kids left? Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
But didn't you?
No, I missed them. And Grandpa missed them. We both missed them a lot.
But did you love having more time for yourself and being able to explore like new things?
No, because Grandpa and I always put the kids, it was hard when I used to have, if we went out somewhere, I had a hard time having somebody else take care of the kids. I wanted to be here. So when they got married and they all left, no, Grandpa and I, we weren't happy. No, we didn't get on a plane and travel. When we used to take a cruise and there would be people on the cruise and they would say, oh God, it's so wonderful. We love it. We love not having to worry about the kids or anything. But Grandpa and I didn't feel that way.
Now, why do you think that is?
Because I don't know. I enjoyed being around them and having them.
Do you think that more women should stay home and be stay-at-home moms?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I do.
Now, why is that?
And we wouldn't have the problems we have today. Yes.
Do you think that influences?
These kids are running wild. There's no discipline. There's no compassion I don't see in the kids, and I don't see any respect. There's no respect. The respect's out the window. I mean, no. Mm-mm.
So?
I think the mother needs to get back in the house. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel.
Do you think that being a stay-at-home mom helped your children in school and throughout life? And when you were a stay-at-home mom for the time being, do you think that it really did influence their personalities and the way, in their like morals and values?
I think so, yes. I took them to church on Sunday. We went to church on Sunday. And the kids had respect. I mean, they respected me. When I said something, they listened. When they got to be teenagers, that was a different story. So I had no control, but I didn't know. But, you know, I always I always thought my kids were great. You know, having a family unit, a mother, a father, I think, I believe that helped all the kids. I noticed when there were kids on the block here, like, well, I don't want to name names because you're recording it, but there was one little guy down the street and his parents were divorced. And you could see it hurt him. You could see it when he saw, you know, our family here, Rob, Scotty, and Cindy had a family and what we did. You could see that their attitude and everything was different. But I felt sorry for those kids because they didn't have a mom and a dad, you know, that stayed home. And they all had dinner together, you know.
Now, do you think that affected his childhood and his upbringing and how he turned out, this little boy?
Well, he was pretty wild. He was a pretty wild kid, as you know, when the kids were young. He did settle down and he did have a family, but I don't know, you know, how he's doing.
So do you think that children who have a close-knit family, do you think they have a better, a better way about life? Yes. And do you think it's more, their decisions are more positive?
I think so, because they wanted that for their family. I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's what they all wanted, my kids. They wanted to have a marriage like grandpa, our family, you know, like we had. With a family and everything, we traveled, we had fun together, you know, and all the family came over. It was always family. That was the big part. And I'm still a family person, and I'd love, that's why I want everybody to keep, you know, not get mad at each other. I don't like that. I want everybody to, maybe there is things that come up, but brush it off. Let it go, you know? Family's family.
Yeah.
And when something happens, then it takes the family to pull everybody through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
That's the way I feel. So poor little kid, you know, like I said, up the block there. I mean, he you know, he'd see, okay, I got to go home. My mom's having dinner. Well, he went home. His mom might have been there, but his dad wasn't there. Well, Bob wasn't here either. Grandpa wasn't here either, but I still had dinner on the table for the kids. We had, you know, they had breakfast, they'd go out, they'd play, they'd come home for lunch, they'd have lunch, they'd go out and play, they'd come back for dinner, and that was it.
So
but this little guy didn't have that.
So another question would be, well, what's the difference between, say, if grandpa, you know, was working very late nights, and a lot of the times he wouldn't come home until very late at night, what's the difference between that and someone who has divorced parents? For like, for example, this other kid who may have not even seen his dad, because it was kind of the same situation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, but I think, but with Grandpa, I mean, he loved the kids. He, that's why he worked as hard as he did, because he wanted to give them a good life. And we, you know, we took the kids on, you know, Hawaii, we went to the Caribbean, but that's what he wanted. He went down there to work only for that reason, that he could give the kids and be able to enjoy it with the kids. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He gave them a boat. I mean, we had a boat. We had a damn condo up in Lake Tahoe. I mean, he did it for the kids. It wasn't for him, because he never used that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It was for the kids. He worked hard, and I think the kids understood that, I hope.
Yeah.
He wasn't selfish. He didn't work for him. Yeah, we did take trips and everything, you know, but Grandma Mabel or Grandma Mamie Watch or Teresa, Carol, I didn't put them in have somebody strange come and take care of them.
Was that also something that was unusual? Were babysitters not as normalized back then as they are now?
There wasn't. I don't think there were that many babysitters, because there weren't that many that we, I mean, we knew Nadine.
So
very, very few. I don't even know anybody that worked then. tell you the truth.
Now, how do you think that influenced, do you think the same women that you also knew that were stay-at-home moms, do you think that they would be supporting other stay-at-home moms to do the same or to get jobs and to go do some, to
no, make a life of their self? I think in that, during that time, no. I think they would have said, no, it's better for a mom to stay home, take care of the kids, keep an eye on them. You see now,
they're, so what's the difference between then and now? Like, why do a ton of women, you know, older women try to say that younger women need to go, you know, make a life for themselves and get a job and go do things when they were supporters of women who wanted to stay at home and work, or I mean, stay at home instead of work?
I don't know. It was why? Okay, why would they? Well, like, first why, of all, I
why
think,
do you think
I
that?
I think,
like, especially now, like, why would you recommend me go get a job and instead of, you know, staying home and having a family and letting my husband work instead of, you know, me getting a job?
Well, I think, well, first of all, because the mother's not home and she doesn't know what the kids are doing, they're on this damn telephone, they're on their computers. And this is where, you know, there's no supervision of the kids.
No,
that's why we got carried away.
I'm trying to say, why would you recommend that me, like, that I should get a job instead of recommending me being a stay-at-home mother so I can raise my children just as you did?
Well, you know what? It's marry and have a child, you know, children, and be able to stay home to a certain, you know, where you get them to where you go to, they go to school, then maybe get a part-time job or anything, help your husband. And but with the cost of living, see, at that time, with the cost of living, we could stay home, but you guys can't now. Nobody could stay home now. It has to be a two-partner, what do you say? God. Can't stay home. We were able to stay home. We were able to buy a house. Grandpa and I bought a car on one income, but Grandpa worked three jobs, but they weren't like, you know, he worked an 8-hour job, and then he'd go come home, he'd get cleaned up, and he'd work for the police reserve at the dances when he could, and he'd make extra money, and he'd play in the band. So I didn't have to work, and we did fine. And we bought a house, we bought a car, but the cost of living wasn't that expensive. Now the cost of living's too high for anybody to stay home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah. If I bet there'd be a lot of mothers. It's so different. Now the mothers are, it's different. They're, I don't know. I don't know. It's just different. I was talking to Antoinette, and you know, she felt the same way. She worked at the bank, but she worked the hours that the kids were in school, and then she'd pick them up and she'd come home. But we'd always be home with the kids. The kids now today, they're all on drugs. They're doing what they want to do. And it's just not good. I think it needs to get back to the family. It needs to get back to a family life. And these kids miss it. I'm sure they do.
So do you think that children with not a standard quote-unquote family unit, do you think that they have more of a higher chance of getting involved in the wrong crowd?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Did you see that you were raising your kids?
Huh?
Did you see that?
Well, you know what? When they turned teenagers and all this crap started coming out, when they were young, they enjoyed, they built boats, they built go-karts. I mean, they didn't even think about anything like that. Not until they got into high school, and then you got the influence of other kids that don't have a good family life that start pulling them in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I think where, I don't know. And then they see everybody, you know yourself. We didn't drink like the kids do today, but The only time we drank, if we went to the Catholic Federation or the Sons of Italy, and they'd have wine, and Carol and I would drink, and then we'd go home and puke our guts up.
Oh.
Grandpa never drank. Grandpa and I would go to the five spot. We'd have a Coke. We'd have a hamburger. Everybody went to the drive-ins. They didn't do the drinking like the kids do now. They went to the soda places.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So, it's just different. It's different times. The population was only 15,000. Everybody knew everybody. So, you didn't, yeah. So but then when your mom and dad came along, then it started to change when they became teenagers. Then the marijuana and all that crap started to come.
I think that's pretty much all of my questions that I have for you.
I just think like Cuomo said, I don't know if you've been watching CNN, but Governor Cuomo of New York, he said he's an Italian family, and every Sunday they have the family gets together before all this happens, and they stay for 2 hours, they talk, they have pasta, they have the bread stuff. I tried to keep that going here when Scotty, Robbie, and Cindy, after they got married. And we did gather here, you know, and we did. And when the grandpa was alive, we had the barbecues with Phyllis and all of them. We tried to keep that family unit together. And I tried, after grandpa died, to keep Thanksgiving going. But Auntie Phyllis dropped out, Jeannie dropped out, and then I got, you know, I don't know, the last couple of times was that I had my hip operation and I couldn't have it. Yeah. But I tried to keep that together because Chrissy wanted it. Chrissy and Heather wanted that family, you know what I mean? That gathering, the family.
Yeah.
The family is very important.
I mean, I do agree.
My family is very, very important. Very important, because you support each other in bad times, you know, you all get together. It's
Well, that's all my questions for now.
Okay. Well, I hope I answered okay.
Yes.
But I see him leave. If I could have kept him. Look at Grandma Mamie tells me right now, well, come up and stay with me. I want you to stay here. This is your house. That's what she tells me all the time. This is your house. This is where you were born. You know?
Yeah.
She wants, you know, everybody back again, but half of them are gone and just Carol and I.
And for a little background, you know, that is my grandma who is 101, who is still telling my grandma to stay at her house.
Okay. It's a different world.
Personally myself, and especially after, you know, being in my own house, you know, like after this quarantine and being home, I feel like I would drive myself crazy, and especially with babies and them crying and putting them down for naps and feeding them, and I feel like I would get way too overwhelmed. I feel like
you never feel a love as you do for your babies.
Yeah,
you never.
No, I understand
even,
that. But
even more than your husband, I'll tell you the truth. Your babies are put first. I'm sorry, but that's the way I always felt. Grandpa felt that way. So we used to argue with Aunt Annette and Rob, and they go, oh, no, it's the husband and the wife. You have to put them, if you had a last piece of bread, who would you, and you had to decide who you're going to give it to. Well, they used to say it would be each other. No, it would be my child first before us.
Oh, most definitely. I agree with that.
Yeah.
But
I know you say you go crazy. Yeah, you do. But God, I don't know. I've got so many memories. Look at all the pictures and stuff. I wouldn't give that up. No, I would not change it. Never change it. No. I was happy. I didn't have to work. I mean, you know, I worked before I got married, and I just wanted to have a home. I wanted to have a family. I wanted my little house. I wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to make sure my babies were taken care of.
Okay, well, thank you.
All righty. I love you.
Okay, I love you too.
Okay.
Bye. What a colorful woman that lady is. I love her. Yeah, that was really interesting because a lot of the times when she goes back and, you know, tells me stories, a lot of the times I don't really ask, you know, she just gives me the brief overview of the story that has happened, but not as much as like her feelings and the advice that she would give me now if I were to be put in that same situation. And I think that's really important. Because, I mean, yes, times are different, but I don't think I would ever be able to be a stay-at-home mom. It's not something that I could ever think. I couldn't ever see myself doing that. I mean, I can't even really see myself having kids in the first place. But being a stay-at-home mom is not something that I think I could do or be capable of. I think I would get too bored. And I wouldn't want to, I would want to work and make money, and not that stay-at-home moms are not doing anything, but I just feel like it would give me more, I would accomplish a lot more for, you know, my mental health and like my accomplishments. I feel like I'd get more accomplished if I weren't to be a stay-at-home mom. Well, this whole thought in the beginning came up from what I was mentioning in the beginning, the 10 self-love activities. One of them was to watch more documentaries. And I had watched the Hillary Clinton documentary, and she had insulted stay-at-home mothers, which she didn't mean to. It wasn't a direct insult. She really just misspoke, and it sounded bad, but I saw where she was trying to come from. But I just wanted to play a little clip for you. And basically she was trying to say the same thing that I'm trying to say, which is why I knew where she was coming from. Not that, you know, I wouldn't assume that being a stay-at-home mom is easy at all by any means, but I would just personally like to keep fulfilling, you know, my job and what I want to do. And yeah, a lot of people argue that maybe you shouldn't have had kids if you don't have time for them, but you know, you still have to, well, you don't have to, but I would still like to work even when I had children. But this is what she had mentioned.
Controversy last month.
I suppose I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but what I decided to do was to fulfill my profession, which I entered before my husband was in public life.
And so many women were thrilled and inspired by Hillary Clinton's decision to, you know, go against the traditional politician, quote unquote, politician's wife role and pursue her own career, which I think is amazing. And others took her comment very condescending and kind of like a slap in the face, because it was assumed that she was, you know, saying that mothers who stay at home don't have that difficult of a life. But I get where she was coming from. And I'm not trying to get political by any means, but that's just an example that I have seen, you know, in the past week. And I thought that was something I definitely wanted to talk about, because I wanted, you know, my grandmother's view of what she would like to see me do if I had the option, which, I mean, I don't think anyone in my generation will even have the option to be a stay-at-home mother, because it already seems like it would be way too hard unless you were very financially stable to do so. But anyways, that's just, I wanted to interview her and see her thoughts on that and her views, and seeing if children that were also raised around my family had a different life because of their different family styles. And my grandma she's Catholic. So not that she doesn't believe in the she does believe in divorce and thinks that it is okay to, you know, get a divorce if you would like because you're unhappy. By all means, she totally agrees with that. But she's just very passionate about family because my grandpa has always been passionate about family. And it's just kind of a tradition that he definitely passed on to my family. He always said that family is king and family always comes first. Blood is thicker than water is what he would always say. So I just always keep that, you know, close to my heart. And it's just really important. And I think that a lot of children, or not children, but, you know, Gen X or millennials. And I think that a lot of us have struggled with having a split family. And it is more normalized now than it previously was to have, you know, alternative family styles, which I really do appreciate because my mom and dad are divorced and I don't even really know that many stable families now. And it's, you know, not funny, but it's just, it's very weird because I was one family out of 30 who, you know, had a divorce within their family. And, you know, 5 years after we came out of Catholic school, all the families kind of fell apart. And I think that was mostly to maintain, you know, the idea of being a perfect family and to make sure your children are, you know, perfect and well-raised while we were in a Catholic school. But, you know, now that we have moved on from that part of our lives and have grown, I think a lot of people have been finally realizing, you know, that their happiness is very important. And, you know, even if one does have a alternative family style, but it shouldn't even be considered that in the first place. But I don't really know how else to phrase it. But if someone does have an alternative family style, it now I feel like it's a lot more normalized for people to be quote unquote normal and very well raised. You know, it just depends on the person, not really the family anymore. So that's what I think. It's all up to you, not really how your family structure is, or it's just up to the person. So anyways, you were listening to In My Head with DJ Lady at the official radio station of Dominican University of California. You can find us at radio.dominican.edu. And I will be back for the next Monday. And we also have our little podcasts. Well, not podcasts, but we have pre-recorded shows now. So they will all be available at radio.dominican.edu from the Dominican University of California. All right. And just another reminder to stay safe. Wash your hands, meditate, do some yoga, clear your mind, and have a great rest of your week. And hopefully this quarantine will go by pretty fast, and so we can all get back to living our lives and hopefully have a huge party when this is all over with. But not too soon, because, you know, we don't want to breathe that first batch of air because that might be very dangerous. But actually, wait, I didn't even think about that. When this ban from leaving your house gets lifted, the amount of people that are going to go crazy and the amount of cases that are going to shoot right back up is actually wild to think about. Because I think that already happened in Italy or China. I don't know. Anyways, I just thought about that. Okay, I'll let you all enjoy the rest of your day. You have been listening to In My Head with DJ Lady at radio.dominican.edu. You could find us there. My podcast will be up every Monday, hopefully, and so will everyone else's in the class. So please tune in, and I will see you all next Monday. Stay safe, stay warm, stay healthy. Wash your hands, sanitize them, and get some sleep. and eat some food, watch some TV, start a new project, meditate, do some yoga. All right, well, have a wonderful rest of your week, and I will see you Monday.